I lift my eyes to the hills.
From where will my help come?
God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
My help comes from the Lord.
Everyone who believes in him will not perish, but may have eternal life.
My help comes from the Lord.
God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world.
My help comes from the Lord.
But in order that the world might be saved through him.
My help comes from the Lord.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promise, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Good morning. The first reading is from Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go to your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 121 responsively with me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time on forevermore.
The second reading is from Romans, the 4th chapter. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him, who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You are merciful and kind, slow to
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Does anyone know what verse comes in St. John, the third chapter? Hey, there it is. I'm going to stop short of that verse. I would never. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If we have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses has lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Anyone ever wonder what it would be like to be Larry Jordan's little brother? No, I didn't. Larry Jordan is Michael Jordan's older brother. Wonder what it would be like to be like Mike. So, As most of you were confused by, Larry Jordan is Michael Jordan's older brother, as in Michael Jordan, the best basketball player of all time. Does anyone want to disagree with that?
LeBron.
It's not LeBron. Does he have 2 3-peats? No. Just saying. Anyway, so most of you have never heard of Larry. His high school basketball coach said of him, if Larry had been 6'2" instead of 5'7", he's not even 5'7", we'd probably be talking about Michael as Larry's little brother. Unfortunately for Larry, his younger brother Michael overshadowed him, literally. Michael had a growth spurt. He shot up to 6'6". Larry is literally shorter than me, and I'm not that tall. So while Michael Jordan is a household name, Larry Jordan, if we know him at all, is most famous for being Michael's older brother. John 3:16. It's the Michael Jordan of Bible verses, right? It's the greatest. It's the GOAT. Greatest of all time. That's what the kids say, okay? It's the one that stands out and above all the rest. Even people who don't really know the Bible or what's in the Bible at least know of John 3:16. Even if they don't know what the verse says, they see these words, John 3:16, everywhere. It's behind field goal posts at football games. It's printed on coffee mugs, and it's on T-shirts, and it's on billboards. And yes, I even see it on barn roofs. Yeah, it's the verse of our Christian faith. What is this? Are we engaging in a dialogue here? It's a monologue. It's a sermon. What?
It's also on AJ's Pizza.
It's on AJ's. You're right. It's on AJ's Pizza. AJ's Heavenly Pizza, by the way, available in Upper Sandusky, home of the Jumbo. Anyway, it is on AJ's Heavenly Pizza. If you buy four jumbos, it's $105. I found that out yesterday. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the gospel in miniature. It's so full of meaning, it can never be exhausted. He thinks that we should spend our morning and our night pondering, considering, reflecting on this verse. That's what Luther says. And what really can I add to this verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. So today, I suppose I could just repeat that a few more times. Maybe you all can repeat it from your memories if you have it memorized. Have you meditate and reflect on these words for a few minutes, as Luther suggests. Proclaim thanks be to God, and you can all continue on. We could get to brunch a little earlier than normal, right? But brunch today will wait, because today is Larry Jordan's day. Today, as we talk, today is the day we talk about the verse that we don't talk about because we always talk about John 3:16. Today we talk about John 3:17, the Larry Jordan of Bible verses. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If it were not for John 3:16, this John 3:17, it would be the verse, I think. Think about this. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Not to condemn, but to save. So maybe we ought to spend the rest of the sermon time reflecting on this verse. Perhaps I can give us some points of reflection. What do you say? I've got four prepared. I don't think we're going to like them. If Jesus wasn't sent to condemn the world, then why are we Christians so set on condemning the world for him? It's our nature. This one's a little tough. It hits a little close to home for this guy. If Jesus came to save the world, then why do we as Christians speak condemnation so fluently? I am fluent in that. As are many of us Christians. If we as Christians have already been spared the guilty verdict, where did it go? It went to that side. If we as Christians have already been spared the guilty verdict, why are we all so ready to deliver the guilty verdict to others? And if the cross, if it's the refusal, if it's God's refusal to condemn us, then why do we Christians cling to condemnation like it's holy work? Like it's our work that God has given to us. We love to believe John 3:16, that in and through the Son, God saves us. It's like our own personal salvation. That verse resonates with us. But when we think about John 3:17, are we absolutely sure that God didn't send the Son to condemn? I mean, at least some people? Can God please just condemn some people? Especially the ones that I don't like all that much? Please? I mean, or maybe just the ones that don't think and act like me. We do desire a little bit of condemnation, don't we? We struggle with John 3:17. There's another verse worth reflecting on. But I must warn, if John 3:16 is the Michael Jordan of Bible verses, and John 3:17 is the Larry Jordan of Bible verses, then John 3:14 is the Sean Schneider of Bible verses when it comes to basketball. And anyone know John 3:14? Carl, you can't look it up on your phone. Just as Moses, you ratted me out. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Bonus points, if anyone can tell me which part of Scripture Jesus is pointing back to. Which book of the Bible? Close. Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers. It's in Numbers. The Israelites, they're wandering around in the wilderness as they did for 40 years or so. And they're complaining against Moses and God like they did for, about 40 years or so. They complained the whole time. And they're saying, why did you bring us out of Egypt to die? We don't have any food and water. Except in the next sentence they say, and the food is terrible. It's like, wait, I didn't think you had any food. Anyway, it doesn't make sense. And with all of the whining, some poisonous snakes show up, and they start biting the Israelites, who, of course, start dying because they're being bitten by poisonous snakes, right? So Moses, being Moses, prays for the people, and the Lord says to Moses, take a poisonous serpent and set it up on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. That is what this means. This is only two verses before our verse, right? It's kind of weird. So the snake, that which ought to afflict and that which ought to condemn, when it is lifted up and looked upon, it is now that which saves. Jesus, the Son of Man, he who could have been sent into this world to condemn us, we are afflicted. We are stricken with sin. Is instead the one who is sent to the world, and when lifted up on the cross, is the one who saves. Just as the serpent is lifted, so must the Son of Man be lifted on a cross, not to condemn, but to save. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If John 3:16 is the gospel in miniature, then John 3:17 is its sequel. We deserve condemnation. We do. We absolutely deserve it. And yet God sends the Son not to condemn the world, not to condemn us, but to save. That's really good news. Just as the serpent is lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Super extra bonus points if anyone can tell me, other than Adam, what hymn number 660 is. I gave him a tip off this morning what hymn number 660 is. Lift high the cross. Lift high the cross. Which, by the way, we are going to sing as our hymn of the day, last minute change. Lift High the Cross stands as one of our most triumphant Christian hymns. We love to march into the sanctuary with our cross, with our crucifer high. But I wonder, for what reason do we lift high the cross? I mean, I think we know why we're supposed to, but sometimes why do we do it? We don't happen to ever lift the cross high so we can bring it crashing down on the heads of those who think differently than us, do we? We would never. Not us. The cross is not a weapon. Dude, check this thing out. That thing, by the way, if I were to push this over I would never. Not on you. Maybe if someone else was sitting there. This thing is heavy. Oh, gosh, I almost broke it. Like, I could hurt someone with this. We can hurt people with the cross, not just with physical crosses, can't we? The cross is not a weapon for us Christians to wield, not against atheists, not against agnostics, not against Muslims, not against Jews. That's not what the cross is for, and we aren't supposed to be using it to wield it against Christians with whom we disagree either. If we use... I'll say this like three times. If we use the cross to condemn, we misunderstand the cross. If we use the cross to condemn, we misunderstand the cross. This cross, the cross has been used to condemn once, well, many times, but once and for all. It can no longer be used to condemn because the cross is that which saves. So if we use the cross to condemn, we misunderstand the cross. The cross that was once an instrument of death has been transformed in and through Jesus Christ. And this same cross now gives new life. If the cross did not send, if God did not send the Son of Man into the world to condemn it, then we do not get to use the cross to condemn people either. We point to the cross as that which gives life. The cross is life-giving, not condemning. We lift high the cross to proclaim the love of Christ. That's what the hymn tells us. That's what we will sing today. We lift the cross high to proclaim the love of Christ. Our call is to proclaim this love, not to condemn. Our call is to proclaim the love of Christ, not Christ's condemnation, because I didn't write the verse. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world but to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Christ does not condemn us. Christ saves us. That is why we lift high the cross. And I'll say, I did separate the verses out today, but I don't think we can really separate out John 3:16 and 3:17. MJ and his brother Larry need to be on the same team. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Our call is to make the love of Christ known to the world. That's it. We can't separate these two verses. We need Mike, we need his brother Larry, to tell the story of God's love for the world. It's not a love that condemns. It is most certainly a love that saves. Amen.
Oh yeah, by the way, I should probably tell you what I told Adam. I alluded to. Hymn number 660, Cranberry Hymnal, we are singing Lift High the Cross. When we picked these hymns like 5 weeks ago, I didn't know the sermon I was going to preach. I decided last night. 660. Hymn number 660, Lift High the Cross.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and all its needs.
Guiding One, you watch over our comings and goings in blessing visitors and new members to our assembly. First Lutheran, inform us into a community of faith where all who are gathered here are renewed by faith. Experience the new birth of your Son and your Spirit, and every member situated. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Compassionate One, you send your Son to save. Declare your word of acceptance to any who feel condemned, and lift up any brought low by hatred and exclusion. Tend to all who are struggling with illness or loss, especially the family and friends of Mary Lou, Chuck, Jack Sr., Tammy, Doug, Mike, Keith, Clint, Barb, Linda, Ed, Pastor Tim. For all those in our long-term homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, and for all who we name aloud, either in the name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Oh, sorry. Eternal One, you neither slumber nor sleep. Be our keeper in life and in death. Thank you for our beloved who have died, especially Mary Lou Griebling, and for your promise which saves this world by your love. Hear us, O God. God of the nations, we lift to you our world. We lift to you the entire Mideast region. Be with those in harm's way, especially in Iran, where there is turmoil and uncertainty. We lift to you all, we lift to you those in the neighboring regions who are also in harm's way. And we lift to you all who in the United States military who are in harm's way. We ask that in the end you bring them all home safely to us, to their families and to their friends. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive these and all our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is our strength and our salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace. Let us continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. O God, maker of heaven and earth, your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its bounty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to your saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is indeed right, our duty, and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. Feast on God's goodness and mercy. may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls. Reconcile us to you and strengthen us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. Saw or heard in our prayers and may have probably already known, Mary Lou Griebling passed away this past week. Her funeral service will be held here at First Lutheran on this Tuesday, calling hours from 10 to 11. The service is 11 to noon-ish, and then a meal here to follow. So thank you for our meal ministry folks for taking care of that meal for the family. You know, one way of showing Jesus' love for the world and for others is through cookies. How did I do, Ron? I've heard that we need people to sign up to bring cookies in for services. So you don't even have to bake them. You can just buy them. You know, so anyway, if you would, I encourage you to look at our sign-up sheet and bring in cookies for our coffee and cookie hour, half hour, anyway. That would be great. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none. Did I forget anything? No? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. the Son to condemn the world,
but that the world might be saved through him.
Go now into the world without fear or judgment, bearing the mercy we have received.
We will. Thanks be to God.